Good morning. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 to 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Amen. Just a couple points here this morning. I really like this opening verse in chapter 3, where it basically says, Paul saying, to write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. And it implies a few things that, there's repeat teachings. Right? The same theme, the same teachings are repeated. So, in the past, perhaps in my youth, I would be like, I've heard this passage before. Oh man, this same pastor gave that same message like, two years ago or whatnot. And, a part of me would automatically just kind of dismiss it. But Paul gives us a reminder here that it's no trouble for us to be reminded of the things. In fact, as you grow in your Christian faith, you'll recognize that, a passage or a word that was given to you in a certain season impacted you in a certain way and brought application. And then in another season in your life, under different circumstances, in the same passage, God can give another word, not necessarily a different meaning, but maybe a different perspective or an angle that you hadn't recognized before. So, all to say, for us, it's good to revisit passages. It's good to go back to old sermons. It's always great, when a pastor or a preacher or a visitor even comes, just to kind of safeguard, because I think the enemy will use that sometimes, like, oh, well, I've heard this one before, and kind of, part of our mind or part of our heart kind of shut off. Well, I guess I'll check my emails right now or do my own little notes or studies or whatnot. So just a thought there. And then I'm going to close off with actually a little bit about this idea of mentorship. But in between, just to give you a little bit, lately Micah has been waking up every morning during EMP when I'm not there, and he'll wake up and he'll just start crying. And he'll actually be in quite a terrible mood. And the reason for his terrible mood is because I'm not there with him. And just this past weekend, Annie and I, we went to Shenzhen for a couple nights. And I had left a night earlier to come back to come to EMP. And that night, he threw a terrible tantrum, because I wasn't there. And, I don't know what's going on in his mind. I know on one part, I know he knows that I love him. But on the other part, when he feels like I'm not there, possibly he may think, oh, my dad doesn't care about me or whatnot. And so it's a bit of a struggle for me. But if he knew, Right? If he could just know that as much as he wants to be with me, you know, in that time of separation, that I actually just as much, if not more, want to be with him. And somehow if I could communicate with that, you know, or you know, Skype is a great way, video, and I can relay that to him, you know, even though we're distanced. And so I began grappling with this thought. Obviously, we know that God loves us more than we love him. But, you know, could it be that he wanted to be with us as much as we want to be with him? Now, you know, obviously, again, we say, well, of course he wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. But this idea that, man, as much as I long and desire, you know, outside of all the other comfort, you know, creature comforts, outside of all the other longings that I have, this desire for me to want to know him, right, to experience him, that he also wants to break through this cloud or this glass or whatever and join with us. And you know, when I consider this passage, you know, that Paul talks about, where he says, you know, he lists, you know, all his accomplishments, all these things that he was able to gain, that he was able to do and accomplish in the flesh. And then he lays them down basically saying, it's nothing, absolutely nothing compared to what I gain in Christ. In fact, not only does he give up nothing, right, he gains everything. Not only does he gain everything, but he gains something he could not gain, right? And in that, you know, in verses 10 and 11, right, that I may know him, right? That I may know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. And then it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop with the accomplishment. Okay, I've gotten there. Now I know him. But if you look on in the verses 13 through 17, it's all progressive language, right? I press on. I'm reaching forward. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. So you know, a couple implications here is, you know, knowing him is not enough. And he's redeemed us and he's deposited us in his spirit. But there's a transformation and a progression that comes. And I'll wrap up with this kind of this thought. You know, the last couple days we were at a conference, and it was about a church planting conference and about gospel preaching and how to be a missional church. And, you know, Dr. Tim Keller, his two of his associates, people that were mentored under him, came along with some church leaders. And we had about 40 pastors here in Hong Kong. And, you know, they're teaching about, you know, Pastor Tim Keller or Reverend or Doctor. He's a pastor, Reverend and Doctor. He's so many things about his preaching style. And just, you know, kind of a side note, but you know, when Jesus was teaching about the prodigal son, you know, he was teaching both about the, you know, the lows of the low, right? Like the harlots and you know, those who were, you know, sinners and didn't know the law and didn't obey. But at the same time, he was also preaching to the Pharisees, right? Those who assume to know the law. And so in one message, he addresses both. And so that's kind of the preaching pattern, you know, in a nutshell, that Tim Keller has adopted. And one of the things he'll say is when you preach on a Sunday, don't just, you know, preach to the Christians, right? Preach also to, you know, assume that there are non-believers in your church, right? And when you preach a sermon, yeah, you know, you got to make those points, but also, you know, he'll reference it as, you know, pepper in some apologetics, pepper in some arguments. You know, consider what the non-believer is thinking when you're presenting truth, which in fact is truth, but yet to them has not penetrated. And pepper in and, you know, kind of make an argument and kind of ease them into coming along that path of faith. And so anyways, his point was that you preach to both. And the side observation that I made was, here these two guys are much younger, you know, maybe in their mid-30s or older 30s, you know, or whatnot. And I recognized a certain mold. And you know, basically they, you know, mentored under, learned under. And so they have a certain language, a certain style, you know, certain types of points. And then you consider, you know, like Pastor Nate and myself, having been under Pastor Sam for 3 years or whatnot, you know, a lot of times we, not maybe we aspire to be or we're training to be, but, you know, in some ways a lot of the lingo or the words or the phrases or the types of things we say and the teachings especially, you know, are catered or tailored under the, you know, the leadership that received under him. And so this idea of, you know, mentorship, when I consider Timothy, right? And this is what I'll, this is, I guess, the point I'm getting to. A lot of us, you know, when presented with an opportunity to serve, or even to teach, or even to preach, right? You know, a situation or a position of leadership that we look on ourselves and say, man, I'm just not capable. I can't do this, right? I consider Timothy, and this is just kind of an inside thing between Pastor Sam and I, you know, we just came from Australia, or I came from Australia, you know, about a month ago, and we did this thing, and, you know, they, man, you guys don't realize what a superstar Pastor Sam is in Australia. I mean, they absolutely love him. They're so hungry for God, and there's such a need for, you know, teaching and pastors that when he comes and he leads revivals and stuff, man, they're on fire. And so Pastor Nate and I joke around, you know, they come and they gather and they you know, they come to this conference because they want to hear Pastor Sam. And then Pastor Sam gives us kind of a bone, right? Here, why don't you take the 2 p.m. session? And so Pastor Nate and I will joke like, man, who is this guy? Who's this Sam Kim guy? Who's this Nate guy? We don't want to hear from him. We want to hear from Pastor Nate. And I can understand a little bit, you know, Timothy, right? I can kind of get a sense of when Paul says, you know, you go here first and you go out forward. And I can understand why Paul has to say, you know, don't be ashamed of your youthfulness, right? But rather in speech, conduct, faith, love, and purity, show yourself an example. I can understand how possibly Timothy would feel timid, right? How he would feel, I'm too young. Paul, I'm not you. You know, I don't have the training you have. I don't have the experience or the knowledge. And so then Paul will say in verse 17 and in other, you know, various verses, you know, brethren, join in my following, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So on one end, there is a discipleship aspect. On one end, you know, it's not wrong. In fact, it's natural to follow the example of your, you know, spiritual leader or father or mentor, right? So you mimic. So I have no doubt that Timothy went into certain Bible studies, went into certain conferences when Paul was, you know, abroad or overseas or in chains, and he would teach from the mold of which he learned and received from Paul. And in fact, I'll give you, you know, a perfect example. Sometimes you may not, you know, this is just a little insider thing, it may not have been fully realized. You may have not fully unpacked this truth or teaching, but you say it anyways, and I was teaching about prayer even just last week in our GIC, and the same thing I've been teaching for 7 or 8 classes now, and the same points that I had learned from PSAM, and some I've expounded on, some I've, you know, cut out and whatnot, you know, you gear things towards yourself, the things that you want to teach, you know, based on the scriptures. And at one point, you know, I just kind of said something, and someone said, well, what does that mean? You know, doesn't that imply such and such? And I was like, oh, yeah, what does that mean? And I was like, you know, Pastor Sam, what does that mean? Well, he's not in my class anymore, right? I'm now leading the class. And so, you know, all to say, at some point, you know, we receive, we kind of regurgitate, we come under. But really, that's only a precursor to when the Holy Spirit really begins to unpack and lead and direct. So for a new believer, you follow, you mimic, you follow the example, right, until you begin to really put into action the prompting and the living out of the Spirit that is in you. Consider this, and I'll wrap up with this. You know, I talked about these kind of disciples of Tim Keller, or, you know, Nate and I could be considered disciples of Pastor Sam in terms of what he teaches. Well, who was Apostle Paul's disciple in terms of knowing Christ and following out his teachings? Right, he wasn't one of the original 12 who sat under him for 3 years. Right, he what? Encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. He what? Received the Holy Spirit. So it's safe to say, right, that we rely and depend, that in fact we must rely and that we must depend on the Holy Spirit in us, directing and imparting to us. It's one thing to take someone else's discovery or revelation upon yourself and assume it and then teach it. It's a totally different thing to discover it for yourself in the scriptures, in your studies, and have the Holy Spirit reveal it. Man, you own it. You can say it in your sleep. You can package it with different illustrations or whatnot. Does that make sense? Whereas you're very limited when you take something that someone else has discovered and make it your own. So my charge and my challenge, you know, a couple things. One, You know, don't be timid, don't be shy, right? You know, whether it's a house church leader role, whether it's, someone says lead an accountability group, or someone says lead a Bible study or a woman's, man, you don't have to know it all. You know, and in one aspect, you learn from what your leaders have given. But on the other hand, give an opportunity, right? You can't grow if you don't put yourself in a position to grow. And allow the Spirit to bring revelation and discovery. Man, it's awesome. It's like being married to someone and finding new things about that person every day and falling in love with that person more and more. Amen? Okay, so let's bow our heads this morning. And I tell you, it is an assault by the enemy on your mind to always keep you at the same level or to even bring you down. You know, to have you say, well, I tried that before. You know, I tried leading a session or a study. I tried bringing someone to Christ, and I utterly failed. Man, it is the assignment of the enemy for you to, recall that memory, to live it out 1,000 times, to dissect it, to the point that you say, I can't do it again. And that is such a lie. So let's just spend some time, Man, lot of applications here, but let's just fall in love with the Scriptures, and let's, with the Holy Spirit that's deposited in us. Yeah, I love hearing messages. Trust me, I could listen to, a handful of pastors, all the time forever. But at the same time, it's like, man, I want God to speak that on my heart, in my circumstances. And we have that access. We have that ability. So let's just come and spend some meditation and spend some time in prayer. And as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's just meditate on these things. Considering one more thing, I was talking earlier about, that God does, I want to be with Micah, he doesn't realize I want to be with him as much as I want to be with him. And this idea that, man, God wants to, know me. I mean, he knows me, but he wants to, have relationship and experience, with me as much as I want to have relationship and experience with me, obviously more. When I consider, what Paul's talking about here, and then I consider, okay, what Christ did, on one end, we say he gave up everything, right? I mean, we say that in our Christian language. We say, Christ gave up everything. He left majesty. He left heaven. He left his throne, servants at his feet. And indeed, he did give up everything. His flesh, his blood. He didn't, give 10%. He didn't tithe 10% of his blood, as Tim Keller would say. Man, he gave his whole life. But on the other side, when I consider this relationship that I have with my son and whatnot, man, I don't think it took him a nanosecond to decide that he had to leave heaven and come down to earth for us. In that sense, it was like he gave up nothing, right? For the opportunity to bring us back home and to have and to know us again and for us to have and to know him. Just last week, there was a kid, we were playing on the basketball courts, just blew out in a rage, complete rage at this other, kid. And man, he was pushing and he was throwing some, about to throw some punches. And Charles, Lynn, and I, we were there. And, just to be honest, I didn't rush to the scene. I kind of motioned that way, and then things kind of escalated, and then, eventually I made my way. But it was a process. Like, do I really want to get involved, or what? But man, it was not a process. It's, like I said, less than a nanosecond. Christ knew it had to be him, and that he had to come. And I don't think it took him any measure of time, or processing to say that I'm the one, that I'm going to go. So let's just meditate on that, and Pastor Nate will lead us in a song. For our first prayer point today, I was just thinking about this little kid. He's a junior high kid, maybe a ninth grader, you know. And, you know, just reminded me of when I was in junior high, you know, certain situations where I was so clueless, you know, to the point of tears, right? I hated, you know, the circumstances, or appearances of things or whatnot. Let's just spend some time. Let's pray for the youth of Hong Kong, right? Let's really lift up Pastor Nate, his youth ministry, the youth teachers. Let's pray for the other youth pastors in Hong Kong. I'm not an expert. You know, I haven't had that much experience, but I know that Hong Kongers have it pretty tough. There's a lot of things that they have to rival with, in terms of status, image, so many things to do. And yet I see this kid who's so lost, you know, so angry, has nowhere to turn. And it wasn't enough just to stop or to bring peace, you know, to be a peacemaker. And this kid needs to know Jesus. You know, we need to bring the gospel message into their lives. So let's just pray, you know, if you have siblings, cousins, relatives, man, we need to start thinking about them strategically. We need to start praying for them. Start equipping our leaders and you know, resources or whatnot. So let's just pray for the youth of Hong Kong, that Christ would reach them, raise up leaders, that the message would penetrate to their hearts far above and beyond, you know, the lights and the brights of the city. So let's just pray for the youth of Hong Kong. Let's intercede on their behalf.
Secondly, let's pray for our church events this weekend. Tonight, there's a McCain House Church. Let's pray for Jimmy and Boyoung. Let's pray for GIC and Experiencing God that's meeting tonight as well. For the IP team, the youth group that meets tomorrow. For our Sunday services, let's lift up and cover Ken as he prepares a message, that God would have just have an anointing for him, and that the hearts of those who come in would be ready to receive and to fellowship with the Lord. So just cover all our meetings, that God's presence would dwell, that lives would be transformed, that people's hearts would draw near to him. So let's just pray and cover over all our meetings this weekend. Lastly, let's pray for our building search. And specifically, let's just pray for land, right? Pray for a plot of land that God has assigned and given and visualize in faith. And what can we do in faith to step forward into it and not just wait for it to drop on us? So let's just pray specifically, you know, whatever that means to you, however the Spirit prompts, you know, for land that God would bless us with so that we can be a blessing to the nations. Okay, so let's just pray covering over our search. Just close by reading the passage again. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, we just thank you, God, this morning, God, for this awesome reminder, God, that you don't just give us a little backpack and a package and say, you know, here you go, you know, I'll see you on the other end. But Lord, you go before us. Lord, you put our footsteps ahead of us. God, you're in us. And God, we walk out of this place, God, with the fellowship that we have in you, God, to know you, to experience you, to share you. God, we thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful day today.